hail and farewell. During the next hour, KPO becomes KNBC. Our music is music of memories through the years. And from now until 7 o'clock, you'll hear voices out of the past and voices of today. Governor Earl Warren of California, Niles Trammell, president of the National Broadcasting Company, Fred Allen, and a host of others. This is Hail and Farewell. This is Hal Wolf saying Hail and Farewell. I am an announcer by trade. Tonight I've been glorified and called Master of Ceremonies. But still, I'm an announcer, and a part of my duties has been to press a small button at the conclusion of a program and say, KPO, San Francisco. Along with my fellow announcers, I have performed that duty for many years. I shall never do it again. For in less than half an hour from now, I will press the button, and you will hear the voice of Mr. Niles Trammell, president of the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, saying, this is KNBC, San Francisco. I'll be saying farewell to KPO, and you'll be saying hail to KNBC, the number one station of the Pacific Coast. And with that, all that will be left of the symbol KPO will be 25 years of memories. Memories in which many of you have shared. Our theme is Through the Years, but a program should commence with an overture, and we bring you a fragment of the overture that opened our program the night that KPO became a part of the National Broadcasting Company. That was April 5th, 1927. It was the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, directed to the late beloved Alfred Hertz, and the overture was Der Fleischer. Memories. Memories, they're such fragile and precious things. Out of the past come voices. Some of them voices of boys and girls who've left this mundane sphere and gone to a land where the music is always in tune. We've treasured in our archives some of those voices that will never be heard again. Do you remember the Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and Ernie Hare?
Let her go. You're not fast, but not too slow. She'll never find a fellow like me. Just feel great. You just laugh. I tore up her photograph. She'll never find a fellow.
Have you forgotten the first of the girl crooners? Oh, so many years ago. We used to call her radio sweetheart, Bon Delice.
Listen to them croon. There's two loads of people in the whole wide world. That's me and a man in the moon.
Do you remember the haunting melody of Memories? And the voice of Ma Smithers and Pa Smithers? Or no, the voices of Eileen Piggott and George Rand and Charlie McAllister and Ted Maxwell and Bernice Berwin and Olive West and Wilda Wilson Church and a dozen of others in Memory Lane. There used to be a band over these air lanes that the youngsters went for in a big way. It doesn't sound like Benny Goodman would sound today, but it was a mighty fine in-the-groove outfit in its day. Harry Reeser and the Clico Club Eskimos. And there was a little group of girl singers. Old-fashioned? No, they were 20 years ahead of their time. Listen to this bit of an old record and you'll say, why, that's Harmony of 1947. But no, it's a memory of the Boswell sisters.
I know mother's moon, no time will pay, outdoors and school.
Now we have only a half hour out of this hour to devote to memories, and we have a million of them. But is there a man among you who has forgotten the Associated Spotlight Review? With Walter Beeband, Jack and Ethel in Roads to Romance, School Days with Professor Snifflebank, Dick LeGrand, Pal, Who Dat Man Perry, names, names. Oh, yes, and Don Thompson. Big Don Thompson, the eighth sports announcer of his day, who forsook sports for news and special events. And from that went to war in wartime Navy duty. Here he is in person. And with him, your old friend, Ernie Nevers. Come in, Don.
Thank you, Hal. Ernie, it's been 20 years since I had the pleasure of playing some pro football with you. And that means that you must have played in and seen from the backfield viewpoint your first Stanford, California game several years before that. Just what year was your first big game, Ernie?
Well, the first game I saw was in 1921 when I was a guest of Finlaw Gary of Santa Rosa. I was a freshman at Stanford in 1922 and played my first big game in 1923.
How many big games have you seen since your undergraduate days, Ernie?
Well, later I went into professional athletics in the East right after my graduation, and I've seen only one since then. But I've seen most of them since. How about you, Don?
Well, I'm not sure, but I broadcast my first one in 1929 over KPO, of course. I don't think I missed more than two or three until I went into service in 1941. Ernie, of those that you did see, which includes those in which you played, which one do you remember most vividly?
Don, my biggest thrill, of course, was in 1925, when I was captain of the first Stanford team to beat Cal in 20 years. But the best big game I ever saw as a spectator was that one yesterday. The Stanford team played that Cal yesterday was as good a team as I've seen all year, and certainly wasn't the same one that I saw lose to Idaho, Oregon State, and Oregon. Yesterday's Indians looked like boys who wanted to play football, asking no quarter and giving none. Now, which big game do you remember best, Don?
I don't even know the year, Ernie, but it had two distinctions from a radio standpoint. It was the first time a California-Stanford game was broadcast coast-to-coast, and the only time that I know of that any football game was broadcast coast-to-coast under commercial sponsorship. I won't mention the sponsor's name for whom I broadcasted, over NBC, of course, but I'm sure the audience knows that the sponsor of Coast Football Games hasn't changed since before 1928 when I joined KPO. Ernie, one last question. What do you think of Marchie Schwartz's chances of bettering the Stanford record next year?
Don, Stanford knows now what it can do. All the boys have to do is carry on from yesterday.
Ernie, I'm remembering another big game. The Rose Bowl game of 1929. And a voice we'll never hear again, excepting on old and scratched records. Graham McNamee, the most beloved of all announcers of all time. And he has just been interviewed by Ken Carpenter. Listen.
Wild, Ken? Yes, that was a tough one. That was the game that produced the most talked-of play in football of all time, when the boys from Georgia Tech took the California team 8-7. Roy Regals, the California center, scooped up a Tech fumble deep in Tech territory. He got bumped around a bit, finally got squared away, and he saw a couple of goalposts and started for home. Unfortunately, it was his own home, Ken, and not the opposition. And how he did go down that field. The crowd was simply stunned into utter silence. They were unable to believe the awful thing that their eyes told them. A man running the wrong way. Benny Lown, at fast California back, took out after him, but Regals was an inspired runner for the moment, and Lown couldn't stop him until he had reached his own 2-yard line. Lom tried to turn Regals around and start him in the right direction. But it was too late, Ken, and the ball was downed on California's 1-yard line.
Those were great and dramatic days, the days when drama was king up on the 22nd floor of 111 Sutter Street. How many of the dramas do you remember? Golden Legend, Captain Post, Winning the West with the entire cast working sound effects. Listen. Hawthorne House. Do you remember the theme? The RCA Hour. The Carnation Contented Hour. And this melody, it comes to you now from Hollywood. Paul Carson is at the console of the NBC organ in Hollywood, and Bill Andrews, original one-man family announcer, is here announcing.
Dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 1, Book 1, entitled Hail and Farewell.
But wait, we've traveled so swiftly down through the years and we've passed so many milestones. There was one man who came into KPO in 1922, the year of the birth of KPO, and he's here tonight. Cheerio to some of you, Charles K. Field to all San Franciscans. And here are the words he spoke that day in 1922.
Yes, Hal, that was the very first time I faced a microphone, and a lot came of it. I recall that I used Longfellow's poem, The Arrow and the Song. You may remember the parody of that. I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where, until the man on whom it fell came around and gave me, well, you can imagine. But I was very serious that first day about the arrow and the song. Long, long afterward, in an oak, I found my arrow still unbroken, and the song from beginning to end, I found again in the heart of a friend. Those lines expressed a hope that first day, and that hope was fulfilled a thousandfold in the years of broadcasting that followed. Even today, when the Cheerio program has been off the air for over 7 years, the friendly letters are still coming into me, and so tonight I'm hoping that somebody somewhere is listening who remembers how it all began.
Of course, we weren't always sentimental, or were we? Perhaps we were. Even when Judy, our old friend, Judy Dean, sang. Well, you know what she sang.
A good man is hard to find. You always get the other kind. And when you think that man is your pal, you look around and find him with the skinniest gal. And how you're raised, you even crave to see that man right in his grave. So if your man is nice, you just take Judy Dean's advice. Hug him in the morning and kiss him in the night. And give him lots of love and treat your man right, because a good man is hard to find. My man's gone and I'm all forlorn. My man's been treating me mean. And I regret the day that man was born. Because a good man hard to find. I've always got me other kind. And when I thought my man was my past, I looked around and found him flirting with a little blonde gal in my face. I even prayed to see that man in his face. So if your man is nice, take you to his advice and hug him in the morning and kiss him in the night. And give him lots of love and teach a good man right. Because a good man is very difficult to find.
Thank you, Judy Dean. You know, I've been thinking about that day that a young fellow wandered from office to office convinced that he had a drama that would click. He was right, but it took months before we believed it at KPO, and then the show commenced. It was a half-hour show in those days. The man was Hal Bertie, night editor Bertie, and the show was Dr. Kate, and the star was our beloved old friend, Corey Bertie. That was art. But there was art of another kind, and it was the first and greatest of hillbilly groups with the unforgettable songs of the range. You heard that group as often as you heard the Aryan Trio or the Southern Harmony Four. And with them, leading them with his guitar and singing with them, was Charlie Marshall. His boys aren't here, but here's Charlie.
Well, that's right, Hal. I can't call the boys in. I'd like to take this opportunity of saying how glad I am to be back in the old homestead. And here's a song that I used to lean into back in the old days. Take me back to Colorado, she's a beatin' old Nevada. I'm alone for them foothills every day. Hits a soothing in the evening when the old gray wolf is grieving. Take me back to Colorado for to stay, for to stay, for to stay. Colorado, or I'm bustin' right away. Now I just love the roar and rattle of the hoofs and horns of cattle. Take me back to Colorado for to stay. When the north winds start a-howling and the old coyotes are prowling, then it's me you see a-settin' by the fire. My old dog won't be a-growlin' and you won't catch me a-scowlin', cause we both know just exactly where we are. Where we are, where we are. Oh, you can bet your boots for knowing where we are. My old dog will be a-scratchin' fleas and I'll be toastin' my old knees a-settin' in my cabin by the fire. Now there's a gal that I'm a-lovin', talk about the turtle dovin', you can tell the world we invented that. We'll be at the squire's a-marryin', and we won't be a-carryin', soon as I can find out where she's at. Where she's at? Where she's at? Oh, I'll be gettin' up and under my old hat.
All that's left of so many of the memories is themes. The Carefree Carnival was Meredith Wilson, Vera Vey, Cliff Nazaro, and all the others who had their beginnings in the studio of KPO, and their themes. Don DiMaggio and his magic bow with Max Dolan playing. Benny Walker, with a woman's magazine of the air. Oh, yes, and do you remember the nostalgic Viennese Echoes with Joseph Hornick? And before the orchestra, Joseph announced the number by saying, well, suppose we let Joe do it.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Those are memories of old Vienna. Of Vienna, when the Ringstrasse was a happy place. Yes, a very happy place. When in the afternoon, between cocktails, we each stroll, or me, we go to the hiring on the planet for a glass of wine. And this is our music. Thank you.
come to the parting of the ways. One road leading back through the years of memories with KPO. The other leading into the unpredictable wonders that will be the fruit of the years of tomorrow with KNBC. The new microphone is ready to be unveiled. And here is John W. Hellwood, General Manager of KPO-NBC in San Francisco, to introduce our honored guest, Mr. Hellwood.
It is now my pleasure and privilege to present Earl Warren, Governor of the State of California. California's favorite son, California's choice for the presidency of the United States, my friend Earl Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. I am happy to be with you tonight on this delightful occasion. As I listen to you talk about the early days of Station KPO back in 1922, I was reminded that in that same year, I was a young man serving as Deputy District Attorney of Alameda County. I recall that in those days, radio was a great novelty. There were only a few sets in each community, and we were obliged to take turns listening in by means of individual earphones. It was incredible to us that voices could be heard over such great distances without being carried by wire. But now all that is changed. The radio industry has grown by leaps and bounds. Today, I understand that there are 35 million different homes in the United States, each with its own radio. As I stand here before the KPO microphone, I think of my own state of California and the manner in which we have participated in this tremendous expansion of the radio industry. With the great influx of population that has occurred during the past few years, we have added immensely to radio's family of listeners. At the same time, California has been privileged to contribute extensively to radio's entertainment field. Radio is truly a vital part of California's social and economic life. I believe America has led the world in radio because the men who developed it were free men, free to create and to experiment. I think one of the most important results of this development of the radio industry in America is that we're not bound to listen to just one station or one program, or what some individual in a position of importance thinks we ought to hear. We have a tremendous range of choice. We can turn on amusement or good music. We can turn on a news report or a discussion of important topics of the day. We have a free choice, and as a people, we are the best informed in the world. For these reasons, I am very happy indeed to take part in this occasion and to pay my own tribute to the great services this station has rendered in maintaining its own freedom and independence, and in providing our people with honest news, good entertainment, and good educational programs.
Thank you, Governor Warren. Now it's my pleasure to ask you to unveil our new microphone with the new call letters, KNBC. In New York, Niles Trammell, president of the National Broadcasting Company, is waiting to make the station break. Will you, sir, unveil the microphone and, for the last time, give the station identification, KPO.
Well, this is a happy duty. I never expected it would become a part of my official responsibility. Farewell, KPO. There will be a brief pause for station identification.
This is KNBC, key station of the National Broadcasting Company in San Francisco, 680 on your dial.
And so we say hail and farewell. Farewell, KPO. Hail, KNBC. And now, the president of the National Broadcasting Company, Mr. Niles Trammell.
Governor Warren, it is a real pleasure to appear on a program with you. And I want to thank you for helping us to change our call letters, KPO to KNBC. I salute John Elwood, general manager of our San Francisco operations, and Mr. Sidney Strokes, vice president in charge of the Pacific Coast. They are able associates and many well-known radio performers appearing on this program. I know that many listeners are curious as to the reason why we are changing our call letters from KPO to KNBC. The National Broadcasting Company's initials, NBC, through the past 20 years, have become famous throughout the world as a spoken symbol of the finest in broadcast service. And for many years, it has been our very natural desire to identify more closely our key station in San Francisco with the National Broadcasting Company. Listeners throughout the Great Bay Area and in Northern California then would find it easier to identify the programs of their favorite network with the station over which they are heard. Now, as KNBC, we feel that the new call letters provide the most natural name for this station and the easiest way to remember what button to push or where to dial to get an NBC program. KNBC is a member of a nationwide network of more than 160 stations. It is also a community station. It puts on many programs which are designed for the particular purpose of suiting the needs and tastes of many people of Northern California. Ever since the National Broadcasting Company was organized 21 years ago this fall, we have tried to make the initials NBC stand for the finest things in radio. The most efficient in technical performance, making use of every modern advance in radio science and engineering. The best in programs of music, entertainment, comedy, drama, news, and public affairs. The highest in standards of service to the public. Those same NBC standards apply to the community service rendered by KNBC in San Francisco. Whatever the art and science of radio can bring you in the way of pleasure and relaxation, of information and inspiration, it is our hope that you will always be able to find it on this station. On behalf of the 2,600 men and women of the National Broadcasting Company, I pledge our best efforts to enhance the tradition of NBC service, fostered and carried on by this station, which only a few moments ago was given a new name, KNBC. We are deeply grateful for the interest and appreciation you have shown toward this station over the years that have passed. We shall always try to be worthy of your confidence and your friendship.
Thank you, Mr. Trammell. Tony Freeman with a short symphonic treatment of the NBC chimes. We're going to swing back to New York shortly and pick up a few well-chosen words pertinent to the occasion from one of the nation's top comedians, Fred Allen. We also plan to hear Charlie McCarthy, Edgar Bergen, the great Gildersleeve and his friend TV in Hollywood, plus some points of view from a collection of KNBC's news notables, including George Thomas Folster in Tokyo and Bert Silen in Manila. Here in KNBC studios in San Francisco are singers Lois Hartzell and Stanley Newman. It's also our privilege to have here in KNBC studios the National Broadcasting Company's Vice President in charge of the Western Division, Mr. Sidney N. Strokes. Mr. Strokes.
Thank you, Hal Wolf. The name KPO can never become just a memory. It has been too long a part of the lives of the listeners of Northern California. The Hale brothers, Prentice, Marshall, and Reuben, first brought this station into being more than 25 years ago. I lost my place. and its early manager, Jim Laughlin, nursed it through its infancy and watched it grow into maturity until it now becomes Northern California's outstanding station. Nor can we forget the work of the San Francisco Chronicle and its publisher, George Cameron, who joined the Hale brothers in 1925 to bring old-timers some of their fondest memories of broadcasting, giving many big-time stars of today their start on the road to nationwide popularity. Yes, these pioneers of KPO and their great work will always remain in the memory of those who listen today. But they will not be forgotten because their work is still evident in the greatness of this station, and it has presented the foundation upon which KNBC can continue. Tonight, in its initial broadcast, KNBC pauses to salute Prentiss, Marshall, and Reuben Hale, George Cameron, Jim Laughlin, and all the others who were associated with KPO in the beginning of a great station, and we can desire no more than to have KNBC carry on what they started so long ago. Thank you.
Well, in order to give this occasion the stature it so justly deserves, KNBC reaches in many directions and over many thousands of miles to receive comments and voices that have contributed to its long record of great entertainment and faithful public service. Standing in a studio in New York at this very moment is a man who makes a living simply by talking through his nose once a week. We can hear him, but we can't see him. Here's Fred Allen.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll try not to lose my place as I go along here tonight. Now that Mr. Stoltz is through, now that Mr. Stoltz is finished, if he doesn't know where he is, someone should tell him he's in San Francisco. And point the way back home. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at ceremonial affairs of this sort, you only hear about the celebrities, the big people who did the big things. Tonight, as we bid farewell to KPO, we have heard the names of the mighty executives who have operated the stations and the various talented stars KPO has developed and brought to you down through the years. But what about the little people? The people who have made it possible for station KPO to survive. You know, it's always the little man who makes the big things possible. After the Golden Gate Bridge was completed, the first man to venture across the bridge was a little man whose name has long since been forgotten. But if this courageous little fellow had not proved to the public that the bridge was safe, and that crossing it, the worst that could happen to a person who lived in San Francisco would be that he'd find himself in Oakland, the suspended highway would have been a failure. The builders of the Golden Gate Enterprise would have been stuck with the biggest piece of bridge work the world had seen until Martha Ray opened her mouth. And so it is with KPO. If the first little man had not listened to station KPO and told his friends that the air was fraught with music, news, and entertainment, the work of the mighty executives and the various talented stars would have been in vain. Station KPO might have gone on broadcasting 18 hours a day without a solitary listener. Has the name of KPO's first listener been mentioned here tonight? No. He was only a little man. He died unwept, unhonored, and apart from an impromptu trio, unsung. But I am here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to pay him tribute and to tell you how he was responsible for the success of this great radio station. Now, the first man to hear station KPO, outside of the building that housed its facilities, was a Mr. Gately Spratt. Mr. Spratt was an old French horn virtuoso who had lost his lift. Unable to play his French horn at benefits, Mr. Spratt eked out a meager living demonstrating bubble gum at kindergarten playgrounds. One night as he trudged home after a hard day inflating his cheekle globules, Mr. Spratt heard talking going on in his mouth. Since he himself wasn't speaking at the time, Mr. Spratt couldn't account for the voices. He seemed to be talking with a southern dialect. He thought he was haunted. After 15 minutes of babble, the voices stopped abruptly, and Mr. Spratt's mouth was restored to quiet. The next night, he heard the voices again. Every night, it was the same routine. Every night, promptly at 7 o'clock, Mr. Spratt's mouth was filled with conversation. Every night, the voices were those of the same two southern characters. Abruptly at 7:15, the voices would stop. Mr. Spratt didn't know it at the time.
that he was getting Amos and Andy over KPO on his bridge work. During the weeks that followed, Mr. Spratt's mouth was filled with music. When Guy Lombardo's band played its soothing melodies, Mr. Spratt would sit down and fall asleep in the nearest doorway. When B.A. Rolfe's brassy syncopation came on, Mr. Spratt's bridge work would rattle, and his head would bob up and down in his derby. With music, news flashes, and comedy programs cascading in an endless flow from his mouth, Mr. Spratt was soon the life of every party. People would invite him out, wine him and dine him, and after dinner, Mr. Spratt would lean back, open his mouth, and the music of the A&P Gypsies or Wayne King would be heard. The guests would roll back the rugs and dance until all hours. Now, Mr. Spratt couldn't account for the miracle until Ripley mentioned his name in a Believe It or Not column. Professor Einstein saw Ripley's cartoon, an avid cartoon reader, Mr. Einstein, and he wrote to Mr. Spratt explaining radio waves and telling him that he was merely receiving the programs of some radio station on his removable bridge. Mr. Spratt checked, and sure enough, he found that the radio station was KPO. He told his friends that they too could get this free entertainment on their bridge work. Those who had no teeth had little wooden boxes made, and in the boxes they placed duplicates of Mr. Spratt's teeth and dental work, which their dentist had copied. And because of the teeth they contained, these first radio receiving contraptions were called sets. So you see, if it wasn't for little man Gately Spratt, its first listener, KPO might never have been heard of. Now tonight, ladies and gentlemen, KPO changes its name to KNBC. Why, you will ask? Well, I'll tell you why. For 15 years, an alleged radio comedian named Jack Benny has been associated with KPO. And for 15 years, the station has pleaded and pleaded with Mr. Benny to take his underpaid accomplices and his tired jokes and go elsewhere. For 15 years, Mr. Benny has stoutly refused. And so, through changing its name to KNBC, this station hopes to rid itself of the Jack Benny stigma and KPO in one fell swoop. Thank you, and good night. Good night.
Well, thank you, Fred Allen, for clearing up what has long been a mystery to most of us. It's our pleasure to present one of the country's most experienced foreign correspondents, who currently is a member of the KNBC news staff, Elmer Peterson.
I appreciate those kind words, Hal, and as I see the situation, this change from KPO to KNBC has at least one major hazard. We can only speculate on how many times our announcers will say KPNBC, but it's safe to say it will happen. I hope to have the pleasure this evening of introducing KNBC's correspondent in Manila, Bert Sylan. However, a bad signal makes it impossible tonight to bring Manila in at this time. However, we can at least pay tribute to Mr. Sylan, who, as you know, because of his broadcast through KTO from Manila in 1941 until that city fell, won him the Headliner's Award.
Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson, and I know that one of the things Mr. Sylan was to say when he was returning it here was a word or two about the man who was to follow him, Ralph Howard, who was a commentator and a war correspondent before he joined the KPO or KNBC staff. His record included the war in North Africa, the invasion of Sicily and Italy, the Anzio beachhead, and the Bikini atom bomb test. So it's a privilege to say, here's Ralph Howard.
Thank you, Hal. And this is Ralph Howard reporting that the Pacific half of the world, which KPO news facilities and personnel have covered directly in the past, will continue to receive full coverage by KNBC. In other words, the status quo will be preserved, though the name be changed. And we hope you'll settle for that until we can find the next step forward. And right now, I have the pleasant assignment of introducing a most attractive blonde. And in addition to that important feature, she is KNBC newscaster, woman's commentator, interviewer, and fashion expert recently returned from Paris, Ruth Anderson.
I'm glad you put that addition in, Ralph, and thank you. This is Ruth Anderson. As Ralph said, I did go to Paris recently for KPO with the San Francisco Apparel Group. On the way back, I had an opportunity to appear on a number of stations across the country. And I'm satisfied that we can take a great deal of pride in our news and information efforts, whether labeled KPO or KNBC. Now it's my turn to introduce someone. During the war, George Thomas Foster carried his microphone into every major battle in the Pacific. One of his origination points was a foxhole on Bougainville Island. He was present on the Missouri during the Japanese surrender. And right now he's in Tokyo with a comment for us. So let's hear from George Thomas Foster in Tokyo.
This is George Thomas Foster in Tokyo. And that's the first time I've been introduced out here by a woman's voice. And I think I like it. They tell me KPO has become KNBC. For those of us out here who spent so many years pouring what we had to say through KPO facilities, it may be a little hard to adjust. Looking back to the war days, I think KPO handled practically everything that came out of the Pacific in the way of news and sent it on to the rest of the nation. Of the many contacts I had with KPO's shortwave studio, the climax was that unforgettable day on the Big Mo, the U.S. Missouri, in other words, where the final Japanese surrender was signed. They tell me you have an excerpt from the recording of General Douglas MacArthur hammering home the terms of peace on that great occasion. So this is George Thomas Spencer returning to San Francisco and the recorded voice of General MacArthur.
My fellow countrymen, today the guns are silent. A great tragedy has ended. A great victory has been won.
That was the voice of General Douglas MacArthur, heard in a brief excerpt from his address to the world during the Japanese surrender ceremonies aboard the USS Missouri on September 1st, 1945. One of the great events of our age, brought to you through the facilities of KPO, now KNBC. Now, with a flick of a switch, let's go to Hollywood for a pair of voices familiar to all of you who have listened to KPO for the past 10 years. A pair of voices that will remain familiar to all who listen to KNBC in the future. We refer to that precocious young man with the barbed tongue. Perhaps splintery tongue would be closer. Charlie McCarthy and his long-suffering guardian, Edgar Bergen.
Charlie, I want you to join me in saying good luck to KNBC.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, that's very nice, but I never heard of it.
Well, it's a new name. You see, the station changed its call letters or name.
Oh, I see. An alias.
Yes.
What do they do now?
No, it's nothing like that. There used to be Station KPO of San Francisco.
Oh, well, I've heard of that.
Yes, sure. And for years, people have heard us over KPO.
Well, you know, I admire their taste. I just like me. I don't know why. You know, Bergen, we've been talking on the radio for a long time, haven't we?
Yes, we have, Charlie.
Yes, it's a long story.
Yes.
And a dirty one.
Yes. Well, I think the business of laughter and taking time out for fun is more important today than ever before.
Oh, you are so right, Professor. So right.
Yes. So many of us reduce the purpose of living to keeping the money coming in and the teeth and hair from coming out.
Yeah, you certainly made a mess of part of it, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes, I'm afraid so.
Yes, you did, old Curly.
Yes.
You know, if I have my life to live over again,
yes,
I think I'd make the same mistakes.
Yes.
Only start sooner.
Yeah. Well, we are only here, Charlie, to say good wishes to KNBC.
Yeah.
And may they continue to present ever greater talent and only the best.
What? No Fred Allen?
All right. Well, good luck, KNBC.
Two of San Francisco's finest vocal artists are Lois Hartzell, soprano, and Stanley Noonan, baritone. You've heard them under the dear departed call letters of KPO, and they have assured us that they'll sing with equal enthusiasm under the new banner of KNBC. And here they are with Tony Freeman's KNBC Orchestra, Lois Hartzell and Stanley Noonan singing Bess, You Is My Woman, from that great musical show, Porgy and Bess.
Bess, you is my woman now, you is, and you must laugh and sing and dance for two instead of one. Want no wrinkle on your brow, no how, because the sorrow of the past is all done. Oh, best, my best, the real happiness is just begun. Yes, you is my woman now and forever. This life is just begun. The sweet dream now love your Porgy. You love your Porgy.
Years ago, our records show that Ted Maxwell, then production manager of NBC in San Francisco, invited a young friend of his, Harold Perry, a juvenile actor with the Henry Duffy Players, to try radio as a professional. Harold was quite versatile. He sang as well as acted, and often he tried his hand at comedy writing and even announcing, together with Richard LeGrand. Hal got his own show on NBC in 1941 as The Great Gildersleeve, and he invited Dick to become a member of his company. In 1942, the character of Peavy was born. And now we join our former KPOers at Peavy's Drugstore in Somerville, USA.
Well, hello, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What brings you out on a Sunday evening?
Well, I heard that NBC is holding a big celebration in San Francisco tonight, so I felt like celebrating, too. Peavy, doesn't that mean anything to you? Kick back, little man. Our old alma mater, KPO, is celebrating.
Yeah, that's fine, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'd like to take you to the shoulders.
Great. And do you know what they're celebrating, Peavy?
What?
They're giving KPO a new name.
You don't say.
Yeah. Calling it KNBC from tonight on.
Out after that biscuit account, no doubt.
No, Peavy, they're just being progressive. The world is moving on. You can't stand in the way of progress.
And changing the name from KPO to KNBC is progress, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Of course it is. KPO has only three letters. KNBC has four. Progress. Very logical.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, it is, nevertheless. Don't you think that radio has progressed in the last 20 years?
I guess I'd better say yes, hadn't I?
You bet, Peavy, because it has. And someday, practically every form of artistic expression will become available to the people direct from the radio studio to the home.
But I thought your interests were in the water business and not in broadcasting.
Well, the water commissioner has to be a broad man, Peavy. I'm interested in all things. And besides, the water business and the radio business have a good deal in common. The aim of both of these great businesses is to deliver to the consumer a pure commodity that won't leave a bad taste in their mouths.
Well, never thought of it in quite that way.
For instance, as Water Commissioner Summerfield, I'm responsible for piping the water from our reservoir through our filtering plant direct to the homes of the good citizens of our town. It's my job, Peavy, to see that the water is pure, clean, and palatable.
You're actually making me thirsty.
And that's what the radio networks are also doing in their own way with entertainment, making it pure, clean, and palatable.
They are?
Of course.
Well, I've heard a few things on the radio from time to time that didn't exactly come through any filtering system.
Well, the radio business is newer and younger than the water business, Peavy. Someday, soon, we can expect the same thing from radio.
Well, I hope so, Mr. Gildersleeve, but the running of a radio station has always seemed pretty complicated to me.
Why, that's nonsense, Peavy. You could run one.
Well, no.
Not so hard when you get the hang of it. It's the same as anything else, Peavy. You put out the best sandwiches in town, you could also run the best radio station in town.
Okay.
Why, of course. You're sort of a program director yourself, right behind the fountain. When you think of sandwiches, what must you consider? Variety, the spice of life. You have to be original, and so does radio.
And guys, I wouldn't care to have some of those old jokes hanging around behind that counter.
Radio does pretty well, Peavy. They're very careful not to cram the customers with too much of the same thing. I'll show you what I mean. Hey, let's make up an NBC sandwich, and you can serve it over the counter. We'll start with tomorrow night. Monday evening, programs of beautiful music. Voice of Firestone, Contented Hour, Telephone Hour, Fred Waring, the fine, smooth parts of our sandwich.
I got a pencil. I'd better take this down.
Yeah, you bet, Petey. And then comes Tuesday night on NBC. Really a meaty night. There's Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Fibber and Molly.
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Red Skelton.
Pardon me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but don't you think we're getting a little too much ham in our sandwich?
Yes, very good. All right, Petey, we'll go on to Wednesday night.
Wednesday night?
Uh-huh.
And what part of our sandwich is that?
Wednesday nights at 8:30. Are you kidding, Peavy? That's our bread and butter. Margarine. Parquet, that is.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you look pretty sly the way you worked that in.
Well, it was a little crafty. But the Summerfield Water Commissioner has to be on the job every minute, Peavy.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Gildersleeve. A moment ago, I said I'd like to offer you a soda.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, we've offered our congratulations to KNBC. Let's have the soda.
Well, as I say, I'd like to offer you a soda, but my water system isn't working, and since you're on the job every minute, I thought that perhaps you'd...
Talk to me about it next Wednesday at 8:30. So long, San Francisco. Here I go.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the hour just passed, you've heard many familiar voices, memorable names, and nostalgic recollections as radio station KPO became known by its new call letters, KNBC. Regrettably enough, there is so much left unsaid, so many personalities, events, and programs that have accumulated in our memories during the past 25 years that we failed to touch upon, and so many with us today who are unheard, but who will continue to bring you the finest in entertainment, news, and information under the new symbol of quality, KNBC. 680 on your dial, 50,000 watts. But now the speeches are over, the tumult and the shouting has died away, and we quietly thank the many who are here with us, both in fact and in spirit, to help us say, hail and farewell. Farewell, KPO. Hail, KNBC. Hail and Farewell was written and produced by Sam Dixon and Dick Bertrandius under the supervision of Harry Bubeck. Hal Wolf speaking. This program came to you from the studios of KNBC, your NBC station in San Francisco.